Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Today, in the year of living biblically. My guest is A.J. Jacobs. His new book, The Year of Living Biblically, One Man's Humble Quest to Follow the Bible as Literally as Possible. Continuing now my interview with A.J. Jacobs. All right, so tell us what you did and why you did it.
Well, what happened was I grew up in a very secular home, no religion at all. As I say in the book, I'm Jewish in the same way the Olive Garden is Italian, so not very. But I wanted to explore religion. I'm fascinated by it. I think it's the defining issue of our time. And so I decided to dive in head first and try to live the Bible and try to live it from the inside and see what enhanced my life and maybe what didn't.
Now, what did your wife say when you announced that this was going to be your next obsessive quest?
Well, my wife, she's a saintly woman, and
she'd have to be.
She definitely was a skeptic. She was excited in a couple of ways because she thought that this might help me see the good side of religion, which it did, and it definitely changed my perspective. And she thought it might help me become more tolerant and more grateful. Again, that was true. But there was lots in the Bible that was not easy on our relationship. For instance, there's rules about not touching women during certain times of the month, so I had to avoid her during those times of the month. Even more, though, if you take the Bible literally, it says, do not sit on a seat where a woman in that time of month has sat. So I had to, well, my wife thought this was sexist, so she sat on every seat in our apartment during her time. So I had to do a lot of standing.
And what about your extended family?
Well, I think there was a fear among my parents, who are secular, that I would go native and end up in a monastery or in Jerusalem. And I did visit Jerusalem, and it was a profound experience. And it did change me.
And what happened in Jerusalem?
Well, a couple of things. First, I did some shepherding because I wanted to get into the sandals of, all the patriarchs. And that was a great experience. It was relaxing, and it was actually confidence building because sheep are, in fact, sheepish. So they will listen to what you say. So it's good training ground for being a leader. You can see why Moses started as a shepherd.
Now, what were some of the more challenging periods during the year?
Well, there were two types of challenges. There was the ones like the stoning adulterers, which are sort of hard to pull off in 21st century America. But even more challenging than that, I think, were the ones that dealt with an extreme ethical makeover, trying to avoid these sins that we commit every day. So trying not to lie or covet or gossip or trying to be slow to anger, as the Bible says. And I live in New York City, so this was, this is like the center of that. But it was really fascinating to try. And I have to say, one of the bigger lessons was almost that how much behavior shapes your thoughts. So even pretending to be a better person, you almost become a little bit of a better person. It's almost like fake it till you make it, as they say in business.
My guest is A.J. Jacobs, talking about his new book, The Year of Living Biblically. There are some times, aside from stoning adulterers, where you really sort of ran into a 20th century wall. Tell us about some of those.
Well, there's the Old Testament. Hebrew scriptures talk about polygamy as acceptable. It's not condemned. And I thought that it might be interesting to explore this. I actually called the head of the polygamy movement in America and asked him, I said, how do I go about bringing this up with my wife? And he said, don't ask her. What you do is you go out, you get the second wife, consummate that marriage, and then go back and tell your first wife about what you've done. And by that time, it's a fait accompli, and you have a better chance of keeping the first wife. So that was interesting advice that I did not follow because I wanted to remain married to my first wife. So I never was able to take on a second wife.
Ah, Sounds like the guy was, you know, moonlighting as an advice columnist for Playboy or something.
For the polygamous version of Playboy, certainly.
What about dealing with the, I mean, you, as you said, you look like Ted Kaczynski at the end of this process. What about the actual beard part of it? This is very retro, and you know, how did you handle actually having this massive beard? I mean, you mentioned the airport issue.
Oh yeah, that was and my wife wouldn't kiss me for the last 2 months. Yeah, it's not something that people in the 21st century seem to wear. I will say there were advantages. During the winter, it was quite warm. It was like a sweater for the face. And there was even a sense of a bittersweet sense when I shaved it off, because as crazy and uncomfortable as it had become, it was almost a member of the family. It was also a reminder of this alternate life that I had taken on. It was almost a persona of its own.
You say that you went from being an agnostic to being a reverent agnostic. Explain.
Yeah, that was a phrase a minister friend of mine, one of my spiritual advisors, came up with. And I love it, and I'm trying to get it out into the zeitgeist. Reverent agnostic. Because whether or not there's a God, I came to appreciate the idea of sacredness, and that prayer or rituals or the Sabbath or family time can be sacred, and that there's an importance to that. So I did progress quite a bit in my spiritual outlook.
What impact did you think at the beginning of this journey? Where did you think you would be at the end of it, and how did you do?
Well, I didn't know. I certainly didn't expect it to have as big an impact on me. I think I underestimated the impact that it would have. But as I mentioned, the whole idea of how behavior affects your thoughts, I think I didn't quite comprehend how much my mind would be changed just by behaving and living in this different way.
So how is your life different today than it was prior to writing the book?
Well, in a hundred different ways, big and small. Everything from I'm much more grateful, because I kept saying these prayers of thanksgiving, which I loved. So instead of focusing on the three or four things that go wrong every day, to focus on those hundred little things that go right that we normally take for granted and do not notice. Or even my perspective. The Bible does not talk so much about individual rights and responsibility. Rights and entitlements. It's more about responsibilities to your elders and to your neighbors. So seeing the world as a series of responsibilities, like JFK said, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. So that perspective changed me as well. And everything down to wearing more white clothing. I love to wear white clothing, because the Bible said to wear white, and it just made me feel better.
So would you recommend this journey to anyone else?
Well, it was an amazing year, but I think that you can hopefully get the insights from reading my book without having to stone adulterers. Hopefully you can get the easier version by reading my book, because there were some things that were incredibly challenging.
Well, A.J. Jacobs, thank you very much for being on the program, and good luck with your next quest, whatever it may be, and I give your wife my condolences right now.
Thank you, very good.